And it's time now to welcome back our ethicist, Randy Cohen, who writes the Ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine. You can hear him, if not in the flesh, at least in the disembodied voice, every other Sunday here on All Things Considered. Randy, welcome again.
Hi, Steve. Sounds scary.
Well,
with being disembodied.
No more scary than usual, Randy. Our letter today comes from a 19-year-old gentleman who would like us to identify him only as Steve.
Is he embarrassed to be so young compared to our regular listeners?
I don't know, but let's hope he's not ashamed of that first name. Anyway, Steve writes, I was recently promoted to the assistant manager of a pizza place in my hometown. That's his position, assistant manager. My best friend works with me, which was great when he was my coworker, but not so great now that he is my subordinate. Today, Steve writes, I found out that one of the cooks who was off shift and waiting for his ride talked my friend into smoking some pot on shift while he was working. It was like one puff, evidently, but there are clear rules about that sort of thing. He is a smart kid, normally, and has never done anything like this before. If I tell on him, he gets fired. If I don't, I feel like I am turning away from something I would not overlook with someone else. Is ratting him out a betrayal, or is it my responsibility? Tough one for Randy Cohen. Randy, what do you think?
It is a tough one, and I think there are two issues here, the reasonableness of the rule and the consistency of its application. And as to the first, I think the rule is ridiculous. That there definitely are situations where every form of intoxication must be forbidden. I mean, no one wants a drug-addled airline pilot or a dreamy heart surgeon. But I don't think many people care if the guy who refills the oregano jars is a little giddy. And I think the guideline for reasonableness is if being intoxicated in any way would endanger yourself or others, then it's reasonable to ban it. The second part is trickier, Steve. It's the consistency of the rule's application. And if, as Steve says, he'd turn in other employees, he'd enforce the rule for others, then I don't think he can make an exception for his friend. And plus, once he became the manager, he has an obligation. He voluntarily accepted the obligation to his boss. And that means he agreed to act as his boss's agent, to upheld the boss's rules, even prissy ones.
Well, now, Randy, hold on a second. Let me ask you about that first point, if I can, because there are any number of reasons that somebody might reasonably come to a no-drug policy in the workplace. For one thing, it's illegal. For another thing, people might not show up to work on time if they're constantly smoking pot. There does seem to be kind of a connection sometimes between one thing and the other. For another thing, okay, granted, it's only a pizza parlor, but it is, I mean, it's food preparation. It's stuff we're eating. I mean, it is of some relevance whether the guy does the job competently or not.
Well, let me respond to each of those.
Please.
That it's legal, for that you'd have to contact the legalist. My duty here is to comment on whether or not the rule is ethical. Slavery was legal, Steve, but I don't think you want to defend that. If the guy comes in late, then bust him for coming in late. It's quite clear that you can absolutely penalize him for that. The getting high seems a secondary question there. As to food handling, well, as I said, if he presents any danger to himself or others, if he's working around a deep fat fryer, you wouldn't want him stoned. But if it's the particular nature of his job, if he's not a danger to himself or others, then it really isn't the boss's business whether he smokes pot.
Well, I think we're going to need to bring in Steve, the person who would like to call us only by his first name, Steve, to get a little more information here. Steve, welcome.
Hi.
And I'd like to say the thing that impresses me most is that you say, today I found out. The very first thing you did in seeking advice here was writing to Randy Cohen. I'm so impressed.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit of ethical turmoil that I knew there was only one person to turn to.
So does your friend do anything that is, really difficult, dangerous? Is he actually the guy who's putting the pepperonis on the pizzas, or is he just sweeping up?
No, in addition to being a manager, I'm also a driver, and that's his position, too.
Then the rule's reasonable. If you have people driving, they shouldn't get high.
Right, right.
Randy raises this question of consistency. Do you have that answered in your own mind or in your own experience? If it was not your friend, would you be having this dilemma about whether to turn him in, or would you just turn him in?
At very first, I got on this big moral high horse, and I'm like, you know what? If it was anybody but him, I would just kick him out the door. But the more and more I think about it, I've come to kind of the same conclusion that our ethicist friend has. I've spoken with my bosses, actually, and they were kind of wanting us to adhere to a don't ask, don't tell policy, and if they're too stupid to hide it, if they're high at work, then they deserve to be fired. But if not, then let them go.
Oh, see, I think I would argue a harder line here, that you really can't have no being drunk, no getting high while you're behind
Absolutely.
The wheel.
And we sat down and had quite a long talk and came to that exact conclusion. So I'm absolutely sure the incident won't ever happen again, especially with my friend. He's a really smart guy, and everyone makes a mistake now and then. But I was just kind of wondering what the correct response to the situation would be.
Wait a minute. Since you wrote the letter to us, you actually sat down with your friend and had a long talk about his behavior.
Yeah, off the clock and off the record, but yeah.
So you found a solution in your own way.
Yeah, you know, one that won't have any too lasting repercussions and won't affect his work any.
There's one other element to this, I think, that we haven't discussed, which is the seriousness of the punishment, that people are very reluctant to ever report wrongdoing if the punishment is wildly disproportional. That the idea here is to have a safe, law-abiding worker. Not the point isn't to be punitive. I admire the way you threaded your way through this.
Thank you.
All right, well, Steve, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
You have won a gold star from our ethicist, Randy Cohen. Steve, thanks very much for sharing your problem with us. We're glad we could be of absolutely no help, as usual.
Thank you very much.
If you're on the horns of an ethical dilemma, write to us at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line, and please be sure to include a phone number where we can reach you. You might get to pose your question to the ethicist himself. Randy, thanks very much, dude.
Always a pleasure.